Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey everybody, I'm Scott Patterson, and this is the I Am All In podcast. iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody. Hey, Amy, Danielle, Riley. Hello, hello, hello. What are we discussing? We're discussing
episode.
Forgiveness.
Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas,
oh, yes,
everybody,
Merry
by
Christmas.
The way. Merry Christmas. Yes, it's Christmas in July, and we're all, you know, it's all 90 degrees and just got out of the swimming pool, but it's Christmas, for God's sake. And I'm in the spirit. I just actually booked my Christmas vacation. I do it well in advance.
Planning ahead.
Go. Yes. Well, it's like, you know, there's a feeding frenzy, and you got to plan ahead. But so I'm really in the Christmas spirit, and what an episode. Oh my God.
It's 2 weeks before Christmas, we should say, yeah, because
right.
You mentioned that a couple times,
right,
that
right,
it's
it
not
is.
Quite Christmas.
It is not quite, but it's like in that anticipatory, joyful headspace that everybody gets into.
You know? When you said you got uninvited to your parents' fake Christmas party, I laughed out loud. When Luke says that, so good.
What an episode, my God. And I think some of the most difficult sledding, emotionally speaking, for Lauren. I mean, she's had some tough episodes to do so far. I mean, as far as, you know, the type of emotional gymnastics that she has to go through on a weekly basis. But I thought this one was especially tough. And I was just like, wow, she's getting through it beautifully. And there was, you know, a lot going on. My God, she's battling her mom. She's battling Rory. Everybody's mad at her. you know, she's getting a little attitude from me. You know, overall, I thought it was I don't know if it was my favorite episode. I thought it was a big episode.
Do you think that's because you're too hard on yourself? Because I love this episode.
Really? Really?
And maybe you don't, because there is so much you in it that maybe you're judging it.
No, it's not that. It just took us out of familiar environs. And here we are in a hospital. You know, that's not familiar set pieces that we're used to or want to get used to. It's just so, I think they made a choice that Richard was going to have, a health issue, and he had to go into the hospital. What I think it did for me is kind of jarred me out of the Gilmore world while keeping me in it at the same time. So outside of my familiar set pieces, I know the Dragonfly or Luke Steiner or Lorelei's house or everything that we're anchored in, it almost, and I don't want to say this word, I don't want to be negative. I really don't. It almost came off like, I don't know, outside of its familiar scenes, set pieces, mm-hmm. and sets, it almost felt like melodrama at times. I'm not saying
it's often. It's an interesting thought. It didn't bother me. For me, the hospital scenes were extraordinary.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. But I wish they just got him out of the hospital. I wish they didn't spend so much time in the hospital. I wish they got him out of there faster.
Yeah, I think that's true. The hospital was probably 20 minutes of the episode.
Yeah,
but I
didn't want to be there.
I thought your scenes with Rory were amazing. Yeah. Your scenes with mm-hmm. Lorelei were amazing. Your scene with Emily, amazing.
I like that scene.
Oh,
I like that scene.
She knows. She knows. Mm-hmm. She knows you two are a thing.
Mm-hmm.
100%. She knew in the episode when she met you previously. She knows in this one. And I loved it.
It's not difficult for people of a certain maturity, a certain vintage, to know what younger people are thinking and feeling. That's not difficult. It's obvious. The older you get, and the more obvious that becomes.
She knows Lorelei. Even though they have so many issues and so much drama, she knows. And that, to me, it just hits me, and I love it.
Yeah, she wrecked her life with Christopher. Now she's going to wreck her life with me. she's hell-bent for leather yet again.
I think Emily likes you.
Yes, she does.
I think Emily likes Luke.
I do, too. And I think Luke likes Emily.
Yes.
I think Luke really likes Emily. I really do. I think he's a little bit afraid of her.
You're so kind to her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she didn't do anything to me. I mean, I don't know how much I even am privy to the drama going on between mother and daughter, you know, between Lorelei and Emily. I probably don't know a lot because Lorelei and I are not that close yet. And I don't know that she shares any of that stuff with me. I mean, I know she's probably frustrated with her mother because she comes in the diner at times and says, oh, my mother. But I mean, have I been really so heavily, like, am I in her circle, Luke, with her, such good friends, and we're tight, and we sort of talk about her mother? I don't think we do.
I love where she's explaining Richard to you. Mm-hmm. You know, she says, I don't know what Lorelei's told you, but he's a really good father. Mm-hmm. And you say, that's exactly what she told me. And whether that is 100% the truth, it was so what she needed to hear. I mean, Kelly Bishop is an amazing actress, mm-hmm. and I love her performance mm-hmm. in this episode. Everything is just so believable.
Yeah, she's a pro. I mean, she's really gifted on top of being a super pro. I mean, she's just a natural, you know. It's you know, I don't want to sound sexist, but women are just such better actors than men. They just are.
I think we just take that as a compliment.
They just are. I mean, you take a mediocre actress and they're as good as the best actor. I mean, it's like, you know, there's women can do anything in front of a camera. It's just, it's not even fair. It's not a fair fight. But I think in that situation, Luke is just being supportive to her. He's if he doesn't know that Richard's a great guy, he's probably just saying that to be classy and to be supportive in a very difficult time because nobody knows if he's going to hang on. He might die.
Well, and maybe it's also because, you know, ultimately this relationship with Lorelai is not going anywhere. And this woman's going to be in your life, whether you're friends or more. Mm-hmm. I just saw it as the groundwork for the future.
Yeah, but I don't think he's not strategic. He's not, you know, thinking of that way. He's just in the moment and being a solid guy, being a friend. Dude. He's being a friend. He's doing exactly, he's saying what a friend would say.
I think he's more.
Well, he obviously feels a lot more. Yeah. But I think in this time, he's not letting that spill over. He just wants to be as supportive as he possibly can. He's more of a friend at this point. He feels like he wants more, obviously. But at this point, you know, he's not seeing this as a way to ingratiate himself. He's just functioning as a friend. I don't think he's...
Maybe I have the benefit of hindsight being 2020. But right. I don't know. This episode was powerful and their relationship was like so evident.
Between Luke and Lorelai. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they flow very well together. You know, they're not so opposite, are they? I mean, it would appear on the surface that opposites attract and they're just very different, but I think they're very... very similar. I think they're both tough as nails. I think the thing that comes across for her is she's really tough. She's tough like Emily. And she, when she digs her heels in, I mean, don't get in her way. I mean, she's not backing down. And I think he's the same way. So I think that's where it is. They're both very, very similar.
Totally.
Yeah.
But I thought she was so vulnerable in this episode with you. So what I thought was interesting, and again, I don't want to seem sexist, but I felt like when she got that message, she starts to fall apart and Luke stepped up almost like you want the man to do or you want your boyfriend to do. I felt like Luke stepped up. He took control. He got everybody out of the diner. He's like, Taylor, close up. Have your hot chocolate. Everything's on me. Let's go. Luke took over.
You know, I think it took him too long. I was waiting for him to get to kick everybody out and take action. I said, like, come on, guy, go.
You're so hard on yourself.
I was wondering what is taking him so long. And then finally he it's like, why is it even a decision? Why is he hesitating?
It was less than a minute.
I'm not going to lie. I was like, that was hot of Luke. Like, go for it.
I agree. And then this is what I was saying to you off air before we started today. When in the diner, Luke is getting everybody out and she's starting to really lose it. Yeah. And she says, Luke, and you say, I know.
Yeah.
Let's go. Yeah. And I'm an atrocious actor. Let me do it again.
No. That was very convincing.
Thank you.
See, even think you suck, you're better than me.
I have watched that scene 3 times just yesterday. And like I said, I'm shook. Like, it was so... I got chills. I was just like, oh my God, he's so dreamy and awesome. And he's just handling this and just gets her. Oh,
he's just doing, anybody would do that for her.
No,
Suki would have done that for her. Michelle would have done that for her.
No.
If she had gotten that phone call at the Dragonfly during the day, then they all would have done that for her. And they would have been there for her at the hospital.
Nope. Not the way Luke did. Nope. Yes, they all would have driven her. They would have been there for you, not like the way you did, where you understood why she isn't going in that room.
And then drive 20 miles an hour on the freeway? Because it's icy. Wait,
do you remember shooting that? How do you shoot those driving scenes? Are you on like some weird contraption behind a car?
Yeah, we're on a rig behind a truck. We're actually off the ground.
But driving.
No, we're being driven. The car is on a dolly, and
you're actually moving. It's not
we're being pulled around. Moving. Yeah, the cameras are set up outside the car at different angles, and we just sit in the car and I act like I'm driving. I do this
around the Warner Brothers set, or do you go off?
No. We go out into the real world and do that.
Oh,
with a police escort. Oh yes.
Oh.
Oh yes. All right, everybody. We're gonna take a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Jane Lynch. This is I Am All In podcast with Scott Patterson, iHeartRadio. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from the Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
All right, everybody, we're back. We're talking about Jane Lynch, forgiveness and stuff. Jane Lynch played the hospital, I guess, one of the nurses, a check-in, who was preventing Lorelai from going in and seeing her dad unless she filled out all of those forms, and that was not going to happen. Oh, no, Emily. I'm sorry, Emily. And Emily, boy, what a great scene that was.
So good.
And you will see his, he will see his painting in the lobby. He is one of the founders of this hospital.
I knew immediately, whoa, there's Jane Lynch, but I don't remember it from 20 years ago, like standing out.
You know why Jane Lynch is a star? Because Jane Lynch, I remember very distinctly that day filming with Jane Lynch, and she was not Jane Lynch yet. And she really took that entire scene she did, those couple of scenes, she did very, very meticulous about it, very seriously. She wanted to be as supportive and as good as she could be and as real as she could be. I was very impressed. I mean, most guest stars do that, but not to the extent that she took it. I mean, she pretty much took over the set, and it was appropriate because that was her set. That was her space. Her character space, that is her space, not Emily's space, not my space. And she behaved that way too. So I thought, how very Tom Brady of her. You know what I mean?
She's perfect in that. I mean, and obviously they like her because she plays a great character on Mrs. Maisel.
Oh yeah. She's done beautiful work throughout her career. I mean, over the last 20 years.
Yeah. She's so Jane Lynch. I mean, immediately.
She was Jane Lynch back then. You could see the seeds right there, like, wow, that girl. She's super prepared. She knows what she's doing on set. She wants to get it, not just get it right. She wants to make it great.
Yeah.
And so she was a great scene partner. I mean, I was there for all the rehearsals and, you know, I didn't really interact with her, but I saw her in action. It was impressive.
All right, let's go back to the serious stuff and then we'll get to the fun stuff. But like, what else can you remember about those scenes? Because that's hard. Like Lauren has to cry in multiple scenes. And then the part where she knows her dad's okay mm-hmm. and just loses it. And then you hug her. I'm like, these two people love each other.
But it's, you know, even though Luke and Lorelai are just friends, and I'm not denying there's a tremendous amount of feelings coming out of Luke, and maybe a kernel of something happening on Lorelai's side. But, you know, circumstances have thrown these two together. But I think he's really just acting like any friend would act, a supportive person. Again, I'm not trying to diminish.
I'm not trying to diminish it.
He doesn't see it as an opportunity to you know, to move the ball down the field, as it were, on a relationship with Lorelai. I don't think he sees it that way. And that's not how I played it. That is, I was there.
I am the character.
Don't you dare argue with me.
Okay, but here's the beauty.
What?
And we're going to bring in producer Riley and Danielle to weigh in, because I know you didn't play it that way, because I think the chemistry between you and Lauren, meaning Scott and Lauren,
right.
or Lorelai and Luke, whatever we want to say.
Right.
Is real, is
yes.
palpable. So as the viewer, you don't even have to try because
right.
it's just there.
Therefore, you don't have to play it. It's already there. You just yeah. act like, you just be the friend, be the supportive person. That's it. That's the soul of any relationship anyway. At the end of the day, you're friends. So be a great friend. And that's all he was doing. That's all he knows how to do with her.
Okay, Riley, Danielle, what do you guys think?
When I'm watching, I'm like, he loves her so much. It wasn't even a second thought. Boom, done. Diner closed. Everyone get out. Get in my car. We're going. And then at the hospital, Lorelai's like, drive Rory home. He's like, yep, got it, done. Like, literally, it was no hesitation whatsoever, which to me, as a viewer and a fan, I'm like, he loves her so much.
You could feel the raw emotions. You could feel the intensity. You could feel it. And also even the coffee at the end. Like, he went out of his way to get her
exactly.
the coffee.
I forgot about the coffee. Yep, you're so right.
Scott, I'm so interested why you don't see it. And I don't know if it's because you're Luke or you know how you did it. But these two people are in love. And I think you're just so in it, you didn't even have to try.
I have two words. Santa Burger.
Santa Burger. The iconic Santa Burger.
Hey, grouchy Luke, who still says it's 2 weeks before Christmas. Come on. He loves her. He's cool about it. He's not creepy, but he just loves her. And she loves him, please.
Look, it's a small town. You got to be careful. You can't push things. You know, you want people to continue to come to the diner, right? And enjoy your food. I mean, he's a very...
And whenever she says, I'm not being flirty, it's because she's being flirty.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
when she said he looked good.
Yeah.
And then he smiled. That's all he did. He just looked at her and smiled. Yeah. It's a fun relationship to play. It really is. Because it's just like a couple of, I don't know, it's just like a couple of really good friends who really like each other and maybe something's going to happen. But nobody's pushing it. I'm not pushing it. She's not pushing
it.
Yes.
They are a couple
right.
who just aren't together yet.
Right. Exactly.
And Luke is being patient.
Right. Really? Because anybody else would, I mean, look what Max Medina has done. I mean, he's pushing the narrative like he's like a game show host, for God's sake. And like, you know, it's take the deal now or it's, you know, it's like, I want to close this deal. And you know, Luke's just the opposite. It's like, yeah, I just think he's very, very careful with her because he wants to respects that this is a small town. She has a daughter. He doesn't want to upset her. He doesn't want to lose a friendship with her. You know what I mean? I think he really values that friendship.
And right. Once they do this, there's no going back.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, right. Exactly.
Rory is so comfortable with you. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. It's like you're there in this most personal, scary moment for them. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing random about you being there. It's absolutely perfectly normal that you are there.
Mm-hmm. My favorite scene, I think, in the entire thing is when I'm bent down covering my head because I was avoiding seeing anybody on the gurney.
Oh, yeah.
And Rory comes out and says, "Hey, you okay looking?" Mm-hmm. She just keeps walking.
It's so true. There's still laughs in there. Right. But frankly, it would have been weird if it was Max there. That would have been uncomfortable for everybody, for Rory, for Lorelai, for Emily. But you being there is like, yeah, of course Luke's there. He's handling this.
But I think, yes, because Lorelai trusts him. She trusts that he's not going to take it too far. He's not going to take it over the line. He's just going to be a rock solid friend to me and do everything I asked and be there for me 100%. Anybody else, I think, in that situation is gonna, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I just remember playing it like we're dear friends. I'm not thinking about the relationship at all. I'm not trying to move the ball forward at all. The ball's moving itself. Nobody has to move it for us. No, you know, it's just a question of time. It's just a matter of time. And if it's right, it's right. We'll know the moment.
Yeah. And I think that's why he's so comfortable. It's like he's patient because I think he knows if this is real, it'll mm-hmm. all work out. So I don't have to push this.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he's walking away from that, you know, the next morning waking up thinking, yeah, that's more coins in the bank.
Okay. No.
I'm going to be making big deposits, big withdrawals soon.
That's right. He doesn't have an agenda on it.
He doesn't
it. It's true.
Have
it's
any
just
kind
true.
Of agenda.
Scott, I have a question for Luke.
Yes.
So I'm going to have you answer.
He's
for
right
Luke.
Here, by the way. He happened to join us. Hi, Luke.
So how did he feel at the end of the episode when he got the new hat from Lorelai?
Oh, yeah.
Because she's reciprocating feelings at that moment.
Well, you don't
so
see
how
him,
did he feel?
Well, you don't see him smile a lot, do you? And he really smiled on that one. Yeah. I mean, for him, that was like consummating the relationship for wow. him.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, he probably went home and slept with a hat or slept with it on. You know, that was a big deal. That was a really big deal. And another thing that yeah. really shocked me was I used to have a lot of hair and it was all over the place and it was very long. And I just went, God, you know, things change in 20 years, don't they?
You look good. Actually, you look good. And I'm not being flirty. You look really good today. I was noticing, like, you seem like you're like thin and looking good. And I'm like Lorelai. I'm not flirting.
I played some golf. I went to the gym. I jumped in the pool and here I am, you know, tough life. I'm ready to go.
Okay. Speaking of two people in love, uh-huh. like Luke and Lorelai, Emily and Richard. Yeah. Wow. That scene mm-hmm. where Richard wants to talk about the money and the mm-hmm. will, and she says mm-hmm. no, and she says, "I demand to go first." I mean, I'm gonna like cry talking about it.
But it's like the ease with which she played that scene. This is what I'm talking about. It's not fair. Women are so much better actors than men. It's just remarkable. She was I mean, you know, we've been getting some emails about, you know, people want me to shut up about talking about how we deserve Emmys and like move on and get over it. I said, no, I'm not. I'm going to point it out every single time. The boneheads at the Academy are not watching this show, because if they were and they saw that scene, Kelly Bishop gets nominated every single year, right?
You know, it seems like Maisel is getting the Emmys because of the mistakes they didn't give them to Gilmore. I mean, because Maisel, I don't know about this recent Emmys, but in the past they've gotten so many nominations that maybe they're making it right. They didn't get it then.
I just think it's because it's worthy of getting awards. It's not yeah. like they feel like they're owed, but it's like,
or maybe just people didn't get it, how brilliant this was. Or maybe they didn't watch it enough when it was on the first time. We have to remember that. People discovered it in the masses later.
They did. There was no, you know, this was the first brush with death. And I think shows that are heavy with death, hospital shows, cop shows, that kind of thing, you know, they'll get the nominations because they're dealing with death. We don't deal with that stuff. This is, we dealt with that one time.
Gilmore was sort of the first of the dramedies too. I mean, I need to like check my facts. So don't, everyone can not at me on that, but it was a full comedy with drama.
Yeah, no, it was a true dramedy, but it also, you know, I had this discussion with my wife about the different facets of the show and how many different types of comedy there are in the show. There is, in my opinion, the funniest moments come from the most dramatic setups. And that's where the real humor, that's when you come in with a knockout punch with a funny line or a funny gesture or a hesitate, a pause or something like that. It's in a dramatic situation. And there's also kind of like sitcom-y stuff in here too. So it's sort of like there's, you know, there's like bits that go on. So it's like they're crossing the streams and she's crossing the streams and getting away with it somehow.
Totally. The opening scene is a bit.
But I think that provided critics or Academy members with, you know, maybe it put a little doubt in their mind as to the, you know, do the writers really know what the show is? If they don't know what the show is, if it's not, you know, a comedic moments coming out of dramatic situations, and it's also this sort of, you know, this almost shticky kind of stuff. You know, then if they don't know what the show is and if they don't want to define the show narrowly enough for us, how are we supposed to vote for it? How are we supposed to get on board with it? Because maybe they felt that the writing was a little bit out of control and a little bit undisciplined. You know, I don't know. I can't get in their heads, but
it was ahead of its time.
Yes. I think it seamlessly embraced all different forms of comedy.
So, because that opening scene where they're getting ready for the, I don't even really know what they're getting ready for. The Christmas story, the play, the in a manger. I don't know what they're doing. What are they doing? They're like getting ready to do the telling of the baby Jesus. Nativity. Nativity. And the baby's missing its arm. And then the dog has it in the arm. And the baby's a girl, which Danielle noticed, and not a boy.
Right.
Well, Rory noticed it. Rory was like, you might want to get a doll that's not a girl. For baby Jesus.
You know, and so much is happening because Kirk is back and he's being funny. But then that scene also shows us that Rory and Lorelai are not getting along still. There's all that tension, but it's all with this crazy hoopla. And you're seeing the town. I mean, there's so much happening in that scene.
Well, that's why all those characters were created, so you could do that kind of stuff. It's all sort of background, you know. It's like, now we can use Miss Patty and Taylor and Sean, and, you know, we can do the scene where there's tension between mother and daughter and backdrop is the wacky town. Mm-hmm. So it keeps it light. It keeps it all very kind of light. And in that, the delivery is very pleasant, but then it sort of resonates on a deeper level because of the backdrop, because it's so contrasting.
Well, and then it's so funny because that sets us up, because Rory is telling Lane that they're calling him Narcolepsy Boy. So then later on, when we get the joke, when Lauren makes the quick, you know, witty remark about Narcolepsy Boy, I mean, it's all just so hilarious.
Mm-hmm. So much time in that hospital. God, that was so much time.
I think it's just because you have a harder time watching you, and you were in a straight 20 minutes of that show.
I think I was still figuring out the character. I was still trying to find the character with the accent and, you know, his level of energy and that kind of thing. And I actually liked what I did in this episode, because I pulled it back way back. And I think that's where I'm best, is if I just don't lean on it so much, you know, because I have a tendency to be a little intense. And
did you think you were leaning on it too much in this episode?
No, I liked it because I was laid back and just, you know, just sort of supporting in this as a friend in this horrible situation, you know, and just trying to be, you know, and not be, you know, I mean, it's it's in the writing and it tells you what you do anyway. So, yeah, but I liked it. I liked the whole thing. And the toughest parts about the episode for me was reacting to the people that were being wheeled by and grossing me out, you know.
the whole episode, yeah. Because there's just so much going on, and I think that's why it's so entertaining. And I say that's why we can watch it 3 times in 2 days, and you're right. Like, it's still good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's a big tease for the audience. Because you know, all of the unanswered question: is Richard going to die? Are Emily and Lorelai going to reconcile? Are Luke and Lorelai finally going to, you know, get? I mean, there's so many the tension that is created with the writing is marvelous, because it's coming at you from all angles all the time.
Did anyone catch that Lorelai calls you honey in this episode?
I did catch that.
That was something. Yeah. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know if it was intentional. I didn't know if she's not a honey baby Pookie type. So it was like, wow. Whoa. What do you make of that?
I just think that he's, again, and I've said it before, I just think he's afraid of her. He's afraid of getting rejected by somebody that he desires so much and that he sees a future with. That's his forever woman. There's nobody else for him. But he doesn't want to make the move yet. He wants to make sure that it's solid, that she feels the same way. And he definitely doesn't want to screw up Rory's life by coming in and you know, if the relationship doesn't work out, that's drama for Rory. That's tension for Rory. He doesn't want that. So he is, you know, he really is a throwback guy. He's a really selfless guy. And he's very, very careful with her because he's going to survive without her. And I think that's part of his appeal to her eventually. Like, he's going to be okay without me because he's Luke, and he's just going to go and he's going to open the diner every morning and he's going to work hard. And that's what he does. And that's who he is. And, but wouldn't life be so much sweeter with her? Right.
Yeah. He's in denial about how much happier he could be if he'd let her in, but he's so afraid of all the things you're saying.
But it's like, that's the unknown, you know, it's like, maybe he's not aware. He obviously feels in the moment that it could be much sweeter, but on it consistently, because he's a guy who's like a day in, day out guy. What's it going to be like every day? And he sees what she goes through with her mother and all the wackiness that is surrounding this woman that comes into his diner, like a tornado every day, you know, with the moods changing all the time. And, you know, he honestly doesn't know if he can keep up with her. I think that's one of the reasons.
Here's what's coming into my mind, mm-hmm. and I can see it so vividly. The pain on your face when you saw her, when you were with the reenactors, and she's walking with Max through town. And it's like that face, that pain, that emotion comes back to my mind. And it's like I saw that yesterday, because we all know that feeling. And Luke felt that. And it's like, that's when I knew, like, this guy loves her. And then everything just completely proves it.
Everybody has been in that situation. That is a universal feeling. That's why it was so powerful. I don't know that it was anything I did or that in particular. It was just everybody can relate to that. You know, everybody has that person in their life, or had that person in their life, where they're just like, they felt so powerless to do anything about it. Maybe it was too late. Oh, the one that got away. It's just an incredibly smart way for the writers to set those characters up, because it's a universal experience. Everybody has gone through that, and multiple times.
I think it's really weird what's happening to me right now, and I want to see what everyone thinks. Two scenes stand out to me so much of the episodes we've seen so far. That moment when Luke sees her walking, and I can just feel the pain. And then the other one is when Lane put her hands through that guy's hair, because it was so embarrassing. And both of those scenes are like literally imprinted in my brain. And I don't know why those two are the two, but it's like, oh God.
Because they were nonverbal.
Oh, and that's true.
And that's the power of TV. And that's the power. That's the true power of film.
Oh,
vision. It's moving pictures. It's not called moving words. It's called moving pictures, motion pictures, pictures in motion. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. The nonverbal devastation, right?
Yeah, because those two are
actions.
Like, I can actions. See them. I can see them in my head.
Yeah. It's like Hamlet. Wow. All he does is talk and give speeches. He doesn't do anything, right? It's a triumph of thought over action. Character over plot. All right, guys, let's take a little break. I'm Scott Patterson. This is the I Am All In podcast with iHeartRadio. We'll be back after these words. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
All right, everybody, we're back. We're talking funny stuff. What's the funny stuff?
Well, there is some funny stuff in there. Obviously, Narcolepsy Boy. Little fun fact, Lorelai says that Dean is 6'2", but in real life, Jared is Padalecki is 6'4".
Yes.
And I don't know if they did that on purpose or just they didn't want him to seem so gigantor.
Well, he was, 17, 18 at the time. Maybe he was just 6'2".
Huh.
You know, he's maybe still growing.
Possibility.
Hit a little growth spurt.
What did you think of the dinner party, the holiday fake Christmas party?
I gave Jared some tips on nutrition and weightlifting.
Is that true? Back in the day?
Yes, he was very concerned about it.
Because he thought he was too lean or
he
thin?
He wanted to know how he could bulk up.
What did you say?
I said there isn't a damn thing you can do about it.
Is that true? You didn't have to bulk up when you were playing baseball?
Yeah, I did. But I had, you know, and I'm like him, I'm naturally thin. And I said, there isn't a thing you can do about it without like completely like ruining your body.
Oh, because you like eat too much or something? I have no idea.
I bulked up through, eating and weightlifting. And it just wasn't a good idea for sports, for when I played baseball. It wasn't a good idea.
Just get puffy? Like what happens?
No, I gained, I gained a lot of muscle. I was, I got up to about 210 pounds.
How tall are you?
I'm a shade under 6'1".
So do you remember Jared being tall, or were you pretty eye-line with him?
No, he was a little bit taller. Yeah. But he wanted to beef up, and he wanted to like, hey, what can I do? Because I remember at that time I was working out in the gym a lot, because I was on this show, and my free time I'd go work out just to, get my energy. And that's how I did it. So I was getting a little bit beefy, a little bit, and I was doing it for skiing too, because I love to ski. So I wanted to be strong and powerful for skiing.
Not for Lorelei. What about for Lorelei?
Yes, that's the reason. That's what I can't talk about. That's the only reason.
Strong and powerful. Yeah, no. But I did feel like you were strong and powerful.
He was, and I gave him some tips. But I just said, listen, you're just going to have to get older. I said, you're going to be thin your whole life. But if you start eating a lot of carbohydrates, when you hit 50, 55, you're going to put on a lot of pounds. Just stop working out.
I don't think he's quite there yet. We'll have to see what happens.
No, he's
younger than me. Yeah, I think he's like 40.
He's ripped. He's 39 and he's ripped.
Before we get into pop culture, Scott, it's Christmas. Can you sing us a little Christmas song to get in the mood for our pop culture moments?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think I happen to have a guitar right here. Thank you, Mary Jane.
This will get us in the Christmas spirit, because I'm assuming next week's going to be Christmas. So we really got to get ourselves.
Sing along with me now. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Now what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Now what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. One-horse open sleigh. In a one-horse open sleigh.
Done.
Thank you very much.
Well done.
It's beautiful. I'm Riley, and this is your pop culture. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. This song was written by Meredith Willson. Meredith Willson incorporated this song into his 1963 musical, Here's Love. This song has been recorded by numerous artists such as Michael Bublé, Harry Connick Jr., and Meghan Trainor, to name a few. How about Jimmy Hoffa, says Luke. Jimmy Hoffa was an American labor union leader who served as the president of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters from 1957 to 1971. He disappeared in 1975 and was declared dead in 1982.
Because I gotta do what I gotta do. Yeah, I gotta do it.
This is because he became involved with organized crime, which potentially led to his death. He was convicted of jury tampering, attempted bribery, and fraud.
Do you remember the Jack Nicholson film where he played Hoffa? Do you remember Hoffa? Do you remember that film?
When he
goes up to, oh, what a performance. I mean, when he goes up to, when he's like going toe to toe with Bobby Kennedy, who was the attorney general at the time, he hated his guts.
This is all blurry in real life and in the movie. Okay. All of it's blurry.
I gotta do what I gotta do. Oh man, what a performance.
Lorelei, I'll never be able to understand what Chara was saying.
Oh, Chara. This one I got.
Coochie.
I love it.
Chara, Chara was a guest on Johnny Carson, Tonight Show. I don't know. She was on like almost every week. And she would come on like, dressed to the nines, overflowing up top, if you know what I mean. And
she did that when she wasn't on the Love Boat.
And this was even before she was on. I think this was even before she was on the Love Boat. She was on Carson. Whoa. Almost weekly. He loved her. Whoa. He loved her. She would come out and crack everybody up. And
doesn't love Charo?
She was positive and full of energy and funny and talented. And she played the flamenco guitar.
Yeah, she's legit musician.
She's legit, like, talented musician, singer, and player. She played.
I love
that.
Me some Charo, Riley. Tell us more.
Coochie coochie.
Also,
I got a lot of the coochie coochie.
Charo's full name is Maria del Rosario Mercedes Pilar Martinez Molina Beza. And as we've mentioned, Charo made many appearances on the Love Boat between 1977 and 1987.
I just remember her from the Johnny Carson show. She was fantastic. She was a great guest. He had some great guests. Don Rickles and Dom DeLuise and all those people. Hysterical people. She would come out and light the stage. I mean, she wouldn't stop talking. She was just like amazing, amazing personality. Oh,
agree. Wait, Riley and Danielle, do you know who Charo is?
I only know Charo because she made an appearance on Jane the Virgin, which is one of my favorite shows.
I thought you were going to say Wife Swap because she also was go on Celebrity back. Wife Swap.
YouTube her, Charo, Johnny Carson. Just check her out. You're sitting there as a kid watching this going, do people like this really exist? Like, what is this? This is fantastic.
I need one more coochie coochie from Scott.
Coochie coochie. Hi, Johnny. Coochie coochie.
Lorelai says, where is the scarecrow when you need him? This reference is to the Scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz, a 1939 American musical fantasy film produced by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. The Scarecrow joins Dorothy in the hope that the wizard will give him a brain. The Scarecrow was played by Ray Bolger, and the face prosthetics he wore ended up leaving marks on his face for more than a year.
Yeah, they do. I lost face with...
What did you wear prosthetics for?
They had to put a headpiece on me every morning for 6 weeks when I played this alien. Alien Nation. I played the Tanktonese commander coming to Earth to enslave all of the escaped Tanktonese and get them back on my planet.
I remember you on that show. I remember you
on
some show.
It was a TV movie. I wasn't in the series. It was a TV movie.
I don't remember
Fox.
That. I remember a different show that I don't know what it was called, but there was like... You were like in a plane and like there was an explosion.
Yeah, that was the event on NBC.
Oh, that was pretty good, actually.
The show actually ended up, like a plane crash.
But that was pretty good.
But, they would glue that headpiece on you with medical adhesive and it would take them an hour to get it off you because they had to be very careful.
How long does it take to put on?
I was in the makeup chair at 3:30 in the morning. For a 7 or 8 o'clock call time.
Makes you kind of love Luke that much more. Huh?
Yeah.
Just
right.
Roll
exactly.
on in there.
Yeah. Throw a hat on, throw a little powder on me. I'm good. I live 6 miles away from the studio. I just jam in there 15 minutes before my call time, put my hat on. They throw a little powder on me. I wouldn't even sit down in the chair. I'd say, just throw it up in the air. I'll run through it. I'm out of here.
Oh my God.
And those poor girls, Lauren and Alexis and the poor girls are sitting in the makeup chair for hours and hours, getting their hair done, the makeup perfect. It's like, hey, how you doing, everybody? I'm going to be at breakfast. Bye-bye.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But that was a different experience. Yeah. So that rips your face apart. That medical adhesive for 6 weeks like that, man, my face was all jacked up for a year. Anyway, go ahead.
Our last pop culture reference is from Rory. Rory says, nope. Things are still Miracle Worker at my house. Miracle Worker is a 1962 film about Anne Sullivan, a blind tutor to Helen Keller, directed by Arthur Penn. Helen Keller was great friends with Mark Twain, and although Patty Duke had been playing Helen Keller in the play for more than a year, she almost didn't get the part in the film adaptation. The studio felt that being a teenager, she looked too old to play a 7-year-old. Also, Helen Keller wrote a total of 12 books.
I'm ready to give my line, but Scott, can you do it with me? Because then it'll just be that much better.
What's your line?
The one I said before. I'm going to do my part. And then your part is, I know. Let's go.
Oh, right. Okay. You kind of want to do that reenacting thing. You want to reenact. You want to recreate.
I really
got
to get in character. I'm going to just have to really do my best acting here. Okay. Ready?
You don't. You're a woman. You can do it in your sleep.
Okay. Wait.
I'm the one that has to prepare.
I have to be serious. This is a very emotional moment. Luke, I'm...
Oh, just cut. Stop right now. Stop it. Stop it.
I'm.
You can't smile while you're doing it.
Wait, God, give me some direction.
Don't stop smiling. All right, listen. Okay, hold on. All right, you want to do a sense memory exercise right here? I'll get you in the mood.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah,
you got time for that?
Yeah.
All right. So what do you want? You want to be? You want to cry a little bit? You freak out a little bit? Yeah. You're on the edge. You're on the verge of tears. The energy's flying around.
Because my dad's in the hospital. All right. Don't know what's going on. I only know to go to the hospital. I don't know where Rory is. I don't know where my mom is. No one's answering the phone. I don't know what's happening.
All right, go talk. Do the dialogue right now. Go.
Luke, I'm.
No, like you were doing it before.
Okay, wait. Luke, I'm.
I know.
Let's go.
Oh, let's do it again.
Okay. Oh, I nailed it that time though.
Yeah, you do. All right,
Underdo it. I have to under act.
Yes, you do. You're right. Sit on it. Feel it, but then sit on it. Go.
Luke, I'm.
Do it again. Do it again. That was good. That was good. Getting better. Good. That was good. But Luke. But don't lose the energy. You're going limp now. Okay. You're getting at where you need to be, but don't lose that energy. Remember, Stanislavski said, inspiration quick as flame.
God, acting is hard. Okay.
It's not easy.
Luke, I'm...
I know. Let's go. I'll close the diner and we can drive 20 miles an hour on the black ice all the way up to Hartford. And you can drive me crazy on the way. You can piss and moan the whole way.
Well done, guys. Huh? Wow. I felt that.
That was a pretty good performance, I thought. I thought that was good. That was good.
I think you helped a lot. I mean, I'd like to try that bit again, and maybe by the end of the 10 years we do this podcast, so I'll be a real actor.
Go ahead. Let's do it again. We can do full scene.
I'll find something new in the next episode. Right.
No, but you got, you know what? Let me tell you something, Amy. You got something there. There's something going on there. There's something interesting.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll try and up my game.
There's some depth. There's some mystery. There are layers there.
Emmy's 2022, Amy Sugarman.
I don't think so. What's your line? You deliver it, girl.
Okay, mine's fun though, so no problem delivering it. This is from Lorelai when Dean's tapping on the window, like trying to see Rory on Christmas, when she was at the Christmas party, and she goes, "You know, we have a really nice front door. You might want to use it sometime." I just loved it.
Mine is from Emily. And she's, you know, going back with Jane Lynch and talking back with Lorelai. And then she stops her tracks and she goes, "Were you on a date? You have an escort."
I have an escort. I know. I love that.
You know, we actually have a listener question about this episode.
Mm.
So I'll go ahead and read it. It's from Grace. Grace, she wrote in and she asked, "When was it decided for Luke to change the blue hat after forgiveness and stuff, which is the title of this episode? Or was that something that Amy and Dan had planned all along to advance the Lorelai and Luke storyline?"
Well, I suggested at a top secret dinner, I refer to it as the hat dinner, with Amy and Dan. And I said, "Listen, I have blue eyes and I think I should have a blue hat."
Oh, good story.
Yeah. And that's where it came from.
So that's why Lorelai gives Luke the blue hat.
I give good dinner.
Wow. Do you remember where the hat dinner was?
They ordered lobster.
In? And you went to their home or at the set?
No. We went to a restaurant.
They had lobster at the restaurant you were at.
Yes.
What did you have?
I think I had a steak.
I don't know.
I got a steak.
Remember.
If I go to a fancy schmancy place, I always get the filet mignon or a prime rib or something.
So it's your
hat
idea.
The hat dinner. I love it. Yeah. Good one.
Yeah, yeah. We were in the private room too. It was a big deal. Security outside. Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No. Oh, yeah. Don't lie.
It was a big deal. It was a big deal.
This season one, dude. No one knew who you were yet. Okay, give us your favorite line. Take us out. What was your favorite line from this episode?
I got to tell you, my favorite line in the entire thing was, yeah, when I just said to Rory, yeah. When I was bent over, it's the one that made me chuckle the most. And then because it made me chuckle. And the other favorite line that's not me, is Michelle. What did he say when he was so irritated at the guy who didn't know what a wand was? Remember on the Christmas ornament on the Christmas tree when they're, he said, he goes, no, that's a staff. Cause he went to the shepherd. He went to, he said, that's not an angel with a wand, or that's not a fairy princess or whatever. Anyway, I don't even know what the line was, but he said, Michelle kills me. I mean, he kills me. His timing is so good. And he just gets so irritated with that guy. And I just laughed out loud. I mean, I laughed right away. That was my, whatever the line was, that was my favorite line.
I still like when you called it her parents' fake Christmas party.
No.
That's good stuff. What's next week? What's the next episode?
The next episode is Paris is Burning.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh.
Scary.
Oh gosh.
Oh, wait, before we go, nobody should miss. Soon we're gonna put up our tutorial video of how to make the Santa burger.
Oh,
so
right.
Be ready for that on the Instagram and right. Send us your own Santa burgers.
Oh my god.
So yeah, get ready for that.
It's gonna be fun.
Instagram.
Listen, everybody, happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody. really, just I hope. You have a wonderful holiday in July. And anyway, so that's going to wrap it up, huh?
Yeah, good work. Good episode.
All right, bye. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com. Grade one specialty coffee.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle.
So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.